Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Today we're going to continue our series, We Stand Together on His Promises. And if you would, I know you were standing for a long time, and if you're able to stand at home, would you join me and stand as I read a scripture this morning? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now, it is God who makes us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Would you bow your heads as we pray? Father, we thank You for Your most awesome promises, many of which You have already fulfilled. And we can trust You just based on the promises You've already fulfilled. You sent Your Son like You said You would. Jesus, You laid Your life down just like the Father said. You became obedient even unto death for our sake. Jesus, we are forever grateful that You made a way where there was no way. Holy Spirit, we recognize You've been deposited in our hearts, in our lives. You are our best friend. You are our comforter, and today I pray that You would anoint me to preach God's Word today, that You would open ears and eyes to see and to hear revelation from heaven that would be life-changing. In Your most awesome and powerful name, Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, you may be seated. Thank you. And I'm so excited that you're joining us online, and really been blessed with this this series. This is week three, and for some reason, my iPad thought I said Siri when I said series. So my notes will come back up, but last week, we began what might be a series within a series as we talked about the atmosphere of honor. And so today is entitled The Rewards of Honor. The Rewards of Honor. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 7, verse 1. Luke chapter 7, verse 1, I'm going to read out of the New King James Version. Now, when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. This was right after the most famous sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? And a certain centurion's servant who was dear... And a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he had heard about Jesus, he sent the elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he was marveled at him, and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. Now I'm going to try to do my best to unpack this story because it is jammed packed, probably worthy of its own series. But last week we heard how Jesus was marveled as well. Remember, he went to his hometown? He went to his hometown, and those in his hometown that knew him did not honor him. In fact, they were offended at him that he claimed to be the Son of God, that he claimed to be someone great, right? And they gave him no honor, and it said that Jesus was marveled. He was marveled at their unbelief. This week, Jesus is marveled again. I don't know about you, but I hope to do something in my life that marvels Jesus. But what are the ingredients to a life that will marvel him? Great faith? Yes. But how do you get great faith? You know, when somebody's afraid, when they've given in to fear, telling them to not fear does not cause them to overcome their fear. In fact, telling them to have faith and believe doesn't itself cause them to all of a sudden not be afraid. So how do we get faith? Because faith is more than just a decision. See, sometimes if you miss the ingredients that produce faith, what you have is pretend. And God is not calling you and I, his sons and daughters, to pretend, but he's calling us to really believe, to have faith. To have faith. Jesus is marveled at the great faith he has. But what ingredients can we see in this story that may have been a part of him being able to have great faith? And this is where these ingredients we could unpack, I think, for weeks. But I only have a few minutes because I have 7 rewards that I want to share with you, and I'm going to get to those. But let me encourage you, if you want all of my notes, if you want the inside track of everything God shared with me, sign up for a life group, because every life group leader gets my notes, okay? And you can get those too if you sign up and get yourself into a life group. What are these ingredients? Can you see an understanding? Can you see an understanding of authority? And that authority is important. In fact, honor and authority is really important to God. And let me just share this. Think about this. Think about the characters in the Bible. And let me, can I pause for a moment just to say this? The characters in the Bible didn't know they were going to be characters in the Bible. Okay, I know Josh believes that he's going to be a character in every one of my sermons. And he made it again today, okay? And some of your greatest fears here today are that you might find yourself in one of my sermons, right? They didn't know this centurion didn't know that he was going to be a character in the Word of God, that he was going to be honored by what? His honor. Honor is so important to God, church. It's so important. Think about this. Saul and David. David was a man of honor. Saul was not. David, if you look at his sin record, was way bigger than Saul's. See, lack of honor has greater consequence. What is the first commandment that has a promise? What's the first commandment that has to do with others other than God? Honor your father and mother. This is put before, don't commit murder. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't lie. Don't covet. This comes before that. Why? Because it's so important to God. Honor is so important to God. And if you're going to have great faith, you're going to have to learn how to honor God and how to honor one another. Because we talked about our futures are connected to who we honor in our lives. Who are we honoring? And if you can learn how to honor your mom and dad as you know them best and all their flaws, if you can learn how to honor them, it will go well with you all the days of your life because you will be able to honor everybody else in this life. I mean, think about Noah, okay? A man of honor, did something sinful, but yet he didn't get judged like his son who was dishonorable was. Jacob and Esau. I mean, Jacob was a manipulator, a deceiver, but what did Jacob do? He honored God and the blessing of God. It was valuable. The inheritance from God was valuable to him. It wasn't to Esau. I mean, if you look at Jacob's life, I mean, he was a deceiver until God transformed him. But what did Jacob have that Esau didn't? It's called honor. It's honor. Over and over, Peter and Judas, what was the difference? Honor. Honor. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I've got many, I know. But actually shows us this promise, this truth. Follow me. King James, New King James Version, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Watch this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. Look at the ingredient here. Look at this. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You must believe that he is. You know, one of the translations says you must believe that he exists. And that's a really poor translation. Because obviously if you're coming to God, you already know he exists. But when you come to God, you must believe and honor who he is. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Our Father, Abba, that's who he is. Who art in heaven. That explains his perfection, his holiness. Hallowed be, I honor your name, right? This is how we come to him. The Bible says we enter his gates with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. Psalm 100. Honor is the key ingredient to having real faith, saving faith, not just pretend faith. But real Bible-believing faith begins with honor. Now, let me give you the seven rewards just to remove anxiety for some of you who are like, I don't know if he's going to get to all seven today. The first reward that honor will open the door to is his presence. The second one is his promises. The third is his power. The fourth, his provision. The fifth, his purposes. The sixth, his people. And number seven, his protection. These are what I consider the seven greatest rewards that are a result of the honor that you give God. These are honor's rewards. These are honor's rewards. You know, many have said, and I have believed that God has given me a gift of faith, a spiritual gift of faith. Amen. But this week, I recognized this ingredient of honor by the grace of God has been a part of my life from a very young age. You know, young people, all of you who are 40 and under, you know how you can marvel God? Not just God, but everyone in this world, in our country at least. Be a person of honor. Choose honor. And you know what? You will marvel the boomers. One way not to honor the boomers is to say, okay, boomer. That's called dishonor. I'm just saying, you want access to the gift that they have and who they are and before God, it won't happen without honor. It will not happen. This is so serious to God. And you go, well, it's just not fair. Well, there's your problem. Life ain't fair. It ain't fair. And I don't know about you, I don't want fair. Because if everything's fair, then everything in this life is about earning it. Wow. And the rewards of God, you didn't earn. Now, the gift of God, you did nothing. But the rewards of God, you do have to do something. If you want to be rewarded by God, you will have to do something. This is why salvation is not a reward. Salvation is a gift. But if you're going to receive rewards, which Jesus said, and actually the Apostle John in 2 John chapter 2 said this, make sure you live in a way, an honorable way, that you don't lose your reward. He's 90 years old when he's writing this. And he's saying, live in such a way, an honorable way, that you do not lose the reward of all that you've done. Paul writes, he says, in light of what Jesus has done for you, live a life worthy. Live a life honorable to what God's done. Are you storing up treasures in heaven? Well, the scripture tells us this. If we honor God even with our first fruits, what? Our storehouse or supply would be vast, would be overflowing. If we honor him, if we put him first, Jesus said this to his disciples who were saying, well, what about us? What can we expect for giving up everything for you, Jesus? What did Jesus say? He who has given up anything for me, brothers, sisters, homes, and their life, anyone who gives up anything for me in this life will be rewarded in this life and even more in the life to come. This is who he is. Are you living your life? Do you even care that there are rewards for you in this life and the life to come. Do you even care today? Or are you living like Esau, who despised his birthright? He didn't care about the reward of God, the favor of God. And that's what it is are you living in a way, are we living, church? Are we standing together in a way that brings honor to him? That we choose not to get offended at the differences. Hallelujah. That we will not judge one another and those preferences that we might have. No, because we're going to do everything we can to live at peace with one another. Why? Because when we do, we have unity. There's a unity that we have, and it's in that place that the Bible says he commands a blessing. What does that mean? It means the favor of God is unleashed on your life and your family and your households. Church, in our marriages, it's all about honoring one another. It's all about honoring. It's not about doing everything perfectly. It's about honoring. Do they matter? Do they matter to you? Are you, I do these things, but is that what the things that you're doing, is that what you like, or is that what they like? Is that what your spouse likes? To honor is to lean in and to listen and to try to understand what is their heart. What is their desire? See, as you mature in Christ, what will happen is you won't go, my will be done. You'll go, God, your will be done. And then you'll lean in and go, God, what is your will? What is your will for me in my life? Before we get to unpacking some of those rewards, let's go back to just looking at the centurion's life. First of all, he loved the Jewish people. And he spent time and money and his talents, his authority to provide a place to worship for the children of Israel, for the Jewish people. He built a synagogue for them. And they all recognize, this is a good man. This is an honorable man, Jesus. He deserves you to come. He deserves you to come. How are you living your life today? Are you living your life in a manner that brings the presence and favor of God in? And hear what I'm not saying. What I'm not saying is you cannot earn your salvation. You cannot. It's a gift. But after receiving that gift of salvation, are you living a life honorable, a life worthy of what he's given? This deposit. What was our opening text? The in Corinthians, right? No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And through him, amen is spoken. Have you set an appointment? Do you have appointments set this week with God and others of his people? Because the Bible tells us to encourage one another daily. To get together and to encourage one another. Listen, our life groups are not a program of this church. It is the church. And if you have come through membership, you realize that. You heard that. And if you choose not to be in the life group, then you're just choosing not to honor this house. And honor God, as the Bible says, to submit to your leaders. And there are seasons. Don't hear me. And I am not. Don't hear, you're guilting or shaming me. No, I'm not. This is not guilt or shame. This is your future, your life, I'm talking about. It's that important. You will not fulfill your destiny apart from walking with the family of God, the people of God. We cannot fulfill one of our missions, which is to be all about relationship, if we're not being all about relationship, if we're not spending time together. And we're grateful to take advantage of the technology. You know, I was stirred this week as I was studying this passage. For all of you watching online, hallelujah, I can pray and the power of God can come right into your living room. Right? Space did not limit Jesus from performing miracles. Let me get back to this insight of Jesus was marveled. Of what? One, he was honorable, right? I'm not even worthy, Jesus. First of all, the fact that he even went to Jesus was that of honor. That he recognized who Jesus was. He recognized Jesus was Lord. He had heard the stories. And he knows no man can do what he was doing. And so he sent for him. Please, I plead that he would come. You ask, right? You humble yourself and you ask, and then you expect. There's an expectation involved in faith. But then there's also an acceptance. There's a humbling, there's an asking, there's an expectation, and there's an accepting. Accepting of what? It'll happen the way God wants it to happen, and in His timing. But there's an expectation, an eager expectation of God to fulfill His promises. But I trust you, God, how you're going to do it. But see, Jesus marveled. What did he marvel at? That this was a Gentile that had greater faith in the children of God? Maybe. Of the level of honor that he was given by, is that what caused Jesus to marvel? Or was it that he understood the spirit realm? He understood the spirit realm and that Jesus had authority in that spirit realm. When he said, I'm a man of authority because I'm under authority. And knowing that Jesus was sent by God himself. Jesus was sent by the ultimate authority. Was that what Jesus marveled at? Did he marvel at the fact that this centurion knew who he was? Knew he was the Son of God. And that he had the power. Did he marvel at that this centurion knew that when Jesus spoke, that when Jesus said the word, something would happen? Did he have an understanding of the spirit realm and the natural realm that words have power? And when Jesus spoke something, that something was going to happen? I mean, there's so much in this passage that we could marvel, that Jesus could marvel at, right? Yes. But for certain, we know this man is a man of honor and gets that honor. I mean, I want to encourage you today to think outside of the box. Because I think this centurion thought outside the box of what was conventional. And when I read the Bible, I hear the stories of men and women of God who thought outside the box, knew that God had no restrictions, that God had no limits. Think about Joshua. Think about Joshua for a moment. Here he is fulfilling the purposes and the commands of God, and the sun's going down. And Joshua has the audacity to say, "Sun, stop." Now, I thought of this even this week, and how, okay, well, maybe Joshua didn't understand the solar system and how it all worked. And, you know, for years I thought, but, you know, God's cool with that. We don't have to fully understand how it all works for God to do something. You can be praying for somebody and be praying for something to be healed, and it's not even that thing that's being heard. But God just works through your ignorance of what's really going on and that you believe. And so maybe God's marveling at Joshua going, yeah, he doesn't get the solar system and what I created. Or maybe He knew something deeper than we know, that there is a solar system, and that he was just saying, solar system, stop. So the question, the challenge today is, will you live a life? Will you do something in this life that will marvel Jesus? That will cause Jesus to get up off of his throne, just like we do as spectators at sporting events or at the end of concerts and movie, you know, we stand, right? We stand to honor, right? Will he marvel? Will Jesus honor our life and the way we lived? Church, if we want to be people of great faith, you must believe who he is. And believing who he is all about honor. It's all about honor. And when you honor who he is, Jesus, you're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You're the great I am. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You are the great I am. First reward is you get his presence. When you honor his name, his presence. Wait, I thought, Pastor, that we have the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have a deposit of the Holy Spirit. But if you want the full manifestation and the favor of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God fully released into your life, you're going to have to honor him. You're going to have to honor him. First reward is his presence. The second, it all of a sudden opens up the door to his promises. You can actually see the word. It comes alive because the Holy Spirit's there to open your eyes to what the word of God is saying. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says this, "For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world by lust." Romans 4:21, our father Abraham said this, "Fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised." This is what happens. You start getting promises. Whoa, that's for me. You start recognizing who you are. How many think the centurion knew who he was? He knew who he was, and yet he humbled himself before Jesus. Why? Because he knew who Jesus was. Really important too, when you honor others, you're actually stepping into knowing who you really are. That you're a son of God. So important. Because you will not keep hold of the promises of God if you don't know who you are. Number three, his power. Isaiah 41 says, "Do not yield to fear, for I'm always near. Never turn your gaze from me, for I am your faithful God. I will infuse you with my strength and help you in every situation. I will hold you firmly with my victorious right hand." Hallelujah. This is what you get when you honor God. You get his power. The same power that raised Christ from the dead comes forth, busts out of your life. Hallelujah. Number four, you get his provision. Philippians 4:19, "For I am convinced that my God will fully satisfy every need you have. For I have seen the abundant riches of glory revealed to me through the Anointed One, Jesus Christ." Number five, his purposes. Oh, hallelujah, you get his purposes. And you get to know this, even when you screw up, and you will screw up, it will happen. But when you live honorably, and when you live in a way that you honor God and his purposes, you want his purposes. Guess what happens? He makes all your screw-ups, all of them. That's what the Bible says. All of your mess-ups, all of your failures, he makes them work out for good for you. That is some good news. Number six, you get his people. You get the people of God. The Bible says to confess your sins to one another so that you can pray for each other and be healed, because the prayers of a righteous man prevaileth much. And number seven, and there's so many more, but I thought that was enough, and I couldn't think of another P. You get his protection. You get his protection. You get his protection, church. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Hallelujah. Psalm 84:11, for the Lord is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will not withhold no good thing for those who do what is right. And what is right, church, is to give him honor. In every situation, right? Yes. In all things. No matter what trials we're facing, what did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? What did they do? They honored him. Church, if you're able, would you join me on your feet as we honor God, as we close? So excited about Pastor Danny coming. In fact, I mean, we got full services, and we're going to start a third service next week just to make more room. Pastor Danny and his wife will be with us, and I tell you, he's a gift. He is a gift. He's one of my close friends now. My wife and I, we spend time in each other's homes. They live in Dallas, and I'm telling you, he's going to bring a word you don't want to miss. You know, those of you who are online, I've been there. I've been in my pajamas, watching our service when I was on vacation. And it's all cool. There's nothing wrong with that. But I remember Brother Harry Gomes, an evangelist in India and a real spiritual hero and mentor of mine, who has led over 50 million people to Jesus. So when he says something, like, I listen. And he said he doesn't pray to God in the morning until he brushes his teeth. Now, does God care about your bad breath? I don't know if he does. I do. Okay. And I care about mine. Does he care that you're in pajamas? No, he cares about your heart. And if you coming to church in shorts and flip-flops, which makes sense in Arizona, okay, is an act of honor, then do it. God is looking at the heart. The question is honor. The question is the heart. You know, there are times, you know, we dress up. Why? Because we want to honor the environment, the invitation, right? A wedding. We dress up. See, the question today is, will you choose to honor God and others? Because the result is great reward. And you go, "Why? Well, I don't really care about the reward." Then you can't please God. If you don't care, it's a lack of honor. You're dishonoring God when you say, "I really don't care about the reward one day I may or may not receive." well, I don't care about, you know, this life and acquiring rewards. Oh, really? Why? What are you going to do? Like whatever you receive in this life, you're blessed to be a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. All right, I got to close. I don't think we're done with Honor Church. I think there's more. It's a big deal. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for your instruction. We thank you for your presence. Today, we just repent of any area of dishonor in our lives before you and others. Lord, if we've dishonored you, forgive us. Forgive us, God, for that dishonor. Lord, if we've dishonored others in our lives, Lord, forgive us for dishonoring them. And Lord, we will make it right, and we will choose to live honorably with those you've called us to walk with. God, thank you for the revelation today. Thank you for the insights today on your ways and the law of honor. You know, if you're here and you're listening right now, or you're here in this building and you haven't honored Jesus by receiving him and bowing your knee to him as your Lord and Savior, it's not that complicated. It's not difficult. Jesus did what was difficult. He did the heavy lifting, but it is a decision to honor him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you can just say this prayer and say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I give you my life. I acknowledge you are my King and my Lord. You are the Savior, and I receive you today. Please forgive me of my sins. I put my trust in you, and I will live my life in a way that is honorable from this day forward with your help and your grace. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. For all of you that are joining online, we are so blessed that you would honor us with this moment. And I want you to remember this about God and everybody here, that God loves you, that God blesses you, that you are highly favored. So live honorably, live loved because you are, and give them heaven. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.